Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your hands. We bless you, Lord. We thank you because we feel you in the sanctuary. We feel you in this place. Without a doubt, you have come to minister to us and touch and speak to our hearts. I thank you, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's always an honor to be in this house. Always a privilege. I honor Pastor and First Lady. Amen. We love and appreciate them very much. And I honor my good friend, Brother Steve. Picked me up at the airport. Blessed me yesterday. Amen. Took me to eat. My God, have mercy. It was revival from when I landed. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows where to eat. He's got some good spots. Hallelujah. We've had a great time. I feel that the Lord has just stirred something in my spirit this morning. And I want to call your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and reading verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and reading verse 29. Amen. And the word of the Lord says, truly, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. God made man. Tell your neighbor, say, God made it right. But we messed it up. I want to preach to you on the subject distorted destiny. Distorted destiny. And I feel that the Lord is going to speak this morning in the name of Jesus. Distorted destiny. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are powerful, you are mighty, and you are awesome. There is no God like you, not even one. You are the only true saving God. And we thank you because this morning we have the honor and the privilege to know you and to come in touch with you. I pray, God, in this hour, put the devil in his place and let your name be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. If anybody was to come and ask you the question, who are you? According to a study, the majority of people will answer in three different ways. The first way is, I am what I have. And so therefore, they place their full identity in what they have, the possessions they have. These are people that constantly are fighting to get the latest name brands and have the latest, greatest car and have the biggest house because they place their full identity in what they have. The problem with this is the moment you lose everything you got, you lost your identity. Hallelujah. And that's why when there was the financial crisis, there were a lot of people that even committed suicide because they lost everything they had. They lost their identity. The second matter of way that somebody will answer is, I am what I do. They place their identity in what they do, their job or their degrees or whatever they do. I am a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I am a builder, I'm a constructor, I'm an architect, I am a carpenter. They place their identity in what they do. The moment they lose their job, they lose their identity. That is why some people that when they go into retirement, they do not know who they are anymore. Because their whole identity was on what they do and not what they are. Praise God. The third way is I am what people say that I am. This will bring a roller coaster effect to your life. Because if you hinge your whole identity on what people say about you, then every day people will have a different opinion about you. And so therefore your life will be like a roller coaster. One moment you're in the clouds and the next moment you're on the ground. People that are so connected with what people say about them, one of their addictions is social media. Amen. Because they post something and want for somebody to give them the thumbs up. And if nobody gives them the thumbs up, it ruins their day. Because their whole identity is stuck on what other people say about you. The problem with that is you can never be stable in your life because not everybody thinks you're the greatest. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, say, I don't care what you think about me. Hallelujah. Your neighbor probably needed to hear that. Hallelujah. Because some folks that are manipulators look for those that hinge their identity on what they say on them, and they will constantly manipulate them to keep them tied down because they know they're made to fly, but they don't want to lose control of them, so therefore they will speak down on them. But I tell you, get around somebody that will bring you up. Oh, Lord, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't tie me down. Let me loose and let me fly by the power of God. Somebody give a shout of praise in the house. See, what you got to understand is all of these answers, even though they might seem to be correct, they are actually a deception. They are deception because the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, his mind, so is he. So in reality, my identity is not in what I have, and my identity is not in what I do, and my identity is not in what people say that I am. My identity is how I perceive myself in my mind. That's powerful all by itself. That's a tweet and a half. Hallelujah. And I hope somebody gives me a like. Hallelujah. God has a plan for every individual in this place. We recognize it or call it destiny. Tell your neighbor, say, I've got destiny. Now, you got to understand something. There is a confusion in between the God's predetermined plan for our life and something that is called predestination. Predestination, according to a man called John Calvin, is interpreted predestination to mean that God willed eternal damnation for some people and salvation for others. In other words, it don't matter if you live good, if God already decided you're going to hell, you're going to hell. It don't matter if you live like a demon. If God decided you go to heaven, you're going to heaven. That is a deception from the pit of hell. Glory to God. I said it's a deception from the pit of hell. Because our God is not an unjust God. I wish I had somebody right there. I said our God is not an unjust God. It is God's will and God's plan for our life that every man and every woman come to salvation. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? It is God's plan, God's will. It don't matter how much you have sinned in your life. God extends mercy to you. God extends salvation to you. God extends grace to you. Is there anybody thankful for the grace of God? Somebody give a shout unto the God of glory. Glory to God. See, God is a God of destiny and purpose, and everything about God's dealings with mankind is connected with his divine purpose. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Glory to God. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. He says, I know that the God, he will judge the just and the unjust. He will be the judge. I wasn't sent to be the judge. He will judge the just and the unjust. You got to understand this right here. You came to the kingdom of God at the right time. At the right time. Even with everything you had going through your life. All the junk, all the battles, all the sins you committed, all the mess-ups and mistakes and oops that you did in your life, the day God brought you to the kingdom was the right time. I've heard people say, I wish I would have gotten in church when I was a teenager. But I'm now 35 years old, and I'm coming into church. Let me tell you something. You came at the right time. Oh, Lord. God opened the door for you to come into the kingdom at the right time. You didn't come late, baby. You came on time. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, if I would have gotten into church when I was a young person, then I wouldn't have done all the stuff that I did. Amen. The beautiful thing is, even with all your mess ups and all your mistakes, our God will take a negative and turn it into a positive for the glory of the name of Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Is there anybody in this place that God took a negative and turned it into a positive? That you said, I don't know how God's going to get glory out of it, but he got glory out of it. Somebody ought to give God praise over that. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, even in my mess ups, God can turn it around. There is that predetermined plan of God for our salvation. And if you're here this morning and you have not been saved yet, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, say that, that's you too. Amen. He wants everybody to be saved. Everybody, everybody. It don't matter what culture you're from, what color you are, what background you have. God says, I want everybody to be saved. Glory to God. I want everybody, everybody to be saved. That is the mercy of God. Because if I was God, oh, I would only get people that like my stuff. That like what I like, that is interested in what I'm interested in. I'd be like, yeah, we're going to make heaven because we're all alike. Hallelujah. That's what Hitler wanted to do. He wanted to eliminate everybody that did not fit his profile. Hallelujah. Want to eliminate all those people. Thank God, God ain't like that. He said, I'll take whosoever will. In fact, he said, throw out the net. Because when you throw out the net, you can't be a picker and a chooser. You just bring in whatever comes in the net. Whosoever will. Somebody give a shout unto God. Whether you're poor or you're rich, God wants you saved. Whether you're handsome or ugly, God wants you saved. Whether you got a name or you don't got a name, God's got a name that is above every other name. And when you go down in the water in the name of Jesus, you become His. Oh, Lord. Somebody give a shout unto God. Hallelujah. But beyond God's plan of salvation, God has a plan for your individual life. And it's called destiny. Oh, Lord. I like that word, destiny. It is a tremendous disappointment to the heart of God that most people do not fulfill their destiny. Glory to God. We will never find out our individual destiny until we have fully embraced God's plan for our life. Until we fully come in to the salvation of Jesus Christ, we will never understand our destiny in life. See, God will not reveal more to us if we have not been faithful to what He already has revealed. When the Lord comes to Jonah and He says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going to Tarsus. I'm going the opposite way. I'm going the opposite way. I know God wants me to go that way, but I'm going the opposite way. He even got himself all like incandito, I guess that's the word. Amen. He got himself all looking like somebody different just in case God was looking for him. Amen. Praise God. He probably had a hat on, sunglasses on, looked like the Kardashians or something. Amen. Trying to run away from the paparazzi, saying, I hope God don't see me. Amen. Let me tell you something, baby. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can change cities, and God knows where you're at. You can change any house, and God knows where you're at. You can go high, and you can go low. God knows where you're at. Praise God. You can even change your hair color. He still knows who you are. Praise God. He ain't confused. He knows who you are. Tell your neighbor, say, He knows who you are. So Jonah thinks, okay, I'm gonna play a fast one. I'm God. I'm gonna show Him. I'm doing my own will. He starts going to Tarsus. Let me tell you something. God will never force you to do His will, but He will make your life miserable. Praise God. God knows how to make your life miserable, but He also knows how to bless you. Choose this day. Live misery or live blessing. It's up to you. That's powerful all by itself. Hallelujah. I said that's powerful all by itself. Hallelujah. There are people that came to church this morning living a miserable life. Today, you can choose to live a life of blessing. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? And so Jonah gets in that boat going the opposite way. God sends a storm. To you that are going through a storm right now, the storm, the length of the storm is determined on your ability to be molded. Praise God. Because the storm is a molding situation. And so therefore, he's in the storm. And now he thinks he's going to pull a fast one on God. He says, throw me out of the ship. In other words, he was willing to commit suicide than to follow God's will. My God, have mercy. And so all of a sudden, he goes, they throw him in the water, and I imagine he's like even waving. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I had the final word. And all of a sudden, this big fish, I don't know how big Jonah was, but it must have been a big fish, came and swallowed him. He thought he was done with. God said, I'm more stubborn than you are. Hallelujah. God is more stubborn than what you are. Oh, I'm telling you, he will strip you from everything you got, leave you living under a bridge, even cause your dog to bite you. Hallelujah. All in the sake or in the mercies of trying to save you. Praise God. So now he's in the belly of the fish. On the third day is when Jonah says, in my anguish, I cried out to God and he heard me. Jonah, if you would have heard him from when the wind kicked up, it would have been different. So what happens? He repented and God allows for the fish to throw up on the seashore. Turn to your neighbor and go, something smells like throw up. Glory to God. And so now Jonah thinks, oh, maybe God's plans changed. First words, the Lord says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And there are some folks, they will fast for 21 days. Oh, God, change your will. Change the will, Lord. Change it, Lord. Lord says, it's the same will. Same word. It ain't changing because it's part of my purpose and it's part of my plan. Glory to God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. See, I'm kind of preaching this morning. I'm preaching and teaching at the same time. Because this word's got to get into somebody's heart this morning. Last summer, we had rented a boat. It was a pontoon boat. And my family and I, we were out on that boat. And my daughter looks out. We were out, nobody around. And she says, Papa, is it okay if I tan? I'm like looking around. I'm like, okay. She said, good. I said, but put lotion on. She said, oh, no, Papa, I don't burn, I tan. I'm like, girl, we don't tan, we burn. I said, if you don't put lotion on, you're going to be red like a lobster. I said, you got to put some lotion. She said, Papa, I tan. I'm thinking, mm-mm. See, something happens with these teenagers where all of a sudden they wake up and mom and dad don't know nothing, just nothing. It's like 42 years of life means absolutely nothing for a 14-year-old. Amen. The 14-year-old knows it all. Hallelujah. Got it all under control. But the 42-year-old, nothing. Any pain? Any parents feel my pain right now? Amen. Hallelujah. So about 30 minutes went by and I said, girl, you need to put some lotion on. She said, Papa, I don't burn. I'm like, okay. After about an hour and a half, I said, girl, you need to put some lotion on. She said, Papa, I don't burn. I'm like, okay. We were out there for 4 hours. I almost even went an extra hour just for the fun of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead. Stay on that grill. Amen. Praise God. I could almost hear her sizzling. Amen. And she, sorry. And so we get to the side, and I look at her, and she's red. And I say, "How do you feel?" She goes, "I'm good." Because, see, you don't feel the effect of the sun until you walk out of the sun. Oh, Lord. That's a message all by itself. You don't feel the effect of it until you come out of it. Baby, you might feel like you're fine right now, but wait till you come out of it. You'll realize the effect it had on you. Ah, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. And so we get in the van, we get in the car, we start going down the road, and I hear, and I said, what, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. And after a few minutes, I said, girl, are you fine? She said, no, I'm in pain. I said, you hurt? Yes, I hurt. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm human. So every part of me wanted to say, I told you so. But I held back. Because daddy mode got into motion. And I began to say, where is there a pharmacy? We need a pharmacy. We need a pharmacy. And I was like crazy. I need a pharmacy. I need a pharmacy. I need a pharmacy. I need a pharmacy. And I'm looking for pharmacy, pharmacy. And we found a pharmacy. I go walking in. I had everybody in that pharmacy, all the staff working for me in that moment. I walked in with authority in that place. I just walked in. I said, my daughter's burned. I need something for burns. They're like running all over the place. They're like, this will work and this over here. I'm like, okay. Hey, how did she get burned? Oh, in the sun. Oh, a sunburn. Praise God. I had everybody on emergency right there. When I walked out, I mean, I had everything. I had numbing stuff, numbing cream. I mean, I even got the tooth numbing stuff. Amen. Just see. Praise God, so that my girl would not have to suffer. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, your plan for your daughter's life was for her to put lotion on so that she would not suffer on down the road. But she made her own decision. But now that she is in the suffering stage of her decisions, you as a daddy is trying your best to soothe the pain that she is going through. And the Lord said, that's how I am as a heavenly father. Oh, somebody ought to thank God that he's a merciful God and a merciful father. Somebody clap your hands. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, God's got a thought for your life. God's got a plan for your life. God has planned something out. But he says, I give you the choice, the power of choice. You decide whether you go your way or you go my way. You decide whether you follow your thoughts or you follow my thoughts. You decide whether you do my will or you do your will. But in my will, I've got it all calculated. I've got blessing on the road. I've got provision on the road. I've got your healing on the road. I've got your breakthrough on the road. I've got everything you need in my plan, but I leave it up to you to make the choice. He says, I've got a good plan for your life, but you choose. See, the Bible says he made man upright. He made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. In other words, God did it right. God did it right. You might say, oh, but it's not my fault where I'm at. I didn't choose the house I was born in. I didn't choose the parents that I was born to. I didn't choose that lifestyle. I didn't choose it. And so we begin to suck our thumbs and start to have a pity party. No, you did not choose to be born there. You did not choose to have those parents. But you choose what you do with what life gave you. You choose what you do with it. You can either go down the road of having a pity party or turn and say, you know what? I'm going to make the best of my life that I can make from this day forward. I'm not going to be trapped in a prison of low is me and oh and me and crying for me. No, in the tears of yesterday, I'm making a choice today. I'm going to walk in a new path. And oh, Lord, I'm going to make new decisions in the name of Jesus. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says that we are what we think. We are what we think. And the Lord says, for I have set before you today life and death, life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. He says, I'm giving you the choice. He said, I'm giving you life or death. I'm giving you good and evil, whatever you choose. He said, but if you choose life, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you even in a land that is not blessed, because I bless you. I'm going to allow you to multiply even in a land that's stagnated, that cannot multiply. I will cause you to multiply because people will look at you and say, great things God has done with this one right here. Oh, Lord, somebody ought to give a shout unto God. I feel like somebody's destiny is going to be shaped in this service right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody give a shout out to God.
Your life, I'm about to come to an end. I feel the glory of God. The other day I was in a church, and I ended service, and there was this little girl. She was just seven years old. Whew. 7 years old. And I walked up to her and I said, hey, young lady, how are you? She looked at me and she said, Why you call me young lady? I said, because that's what you are. I said, you're a young lady. She said, but why you call me lady? I said, because you're a lady. She said, that's not what my daddy says. I said, what? She says, and you'll have to excuse me. But this little 7-year-old child, and I'm not going to say the bad word, but you'll hear it. Well, you won't hear it. You'll understand what I mean. Amen. I don't want to become the cussing preacher in this church. Hallelujah. Praise God. She said, my daddy calls me a bee. Female expression for a dog. My dad calls me a bee. And he says that that's what I'm going to be, is a bee. And she looks at me and she says, I'm not a lady. I'm a bee. And that's what I'm going to be. And I looked at her and I stared into her eyes. I said, young lady, listen to me. God looks at you as his daughter, as his chosen daughter. You're special in God's eyes. And she looks and tears starts coming down her cheeks. And she said, I'm special. I said, yes, you're special. I don't know what's ever going to become of that little girl's life, but that day, she decided, I'm going to be special. I'm going to be different. I know life probably handed me a little rough situation, but I'm not going to allow it to forge my destiny. I'm not going to allow it to determine the outcome of my life. I choose what direction. Oh, Lord, Abokotaya. Somebody give God praise right now. Somebody give God praise right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Stand all over this place. Stand in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You've probably been handed a rough situation, a rough life, a rough moment in life. That most people would look at you and say, you know what, you probably should throw in the towel and give up. But the same Jesus that died on the cross, let me just put it this way. If you mean nothing to God, if you're just on here on earth and you are just a lump of nothing, you're just worthless, a piece of worthless flesh, then why would God give his life for you? Because even in all of your junk, God looks down and he says, the world might call you a bee, but I'm calling you my child. I'm calling you my treasure. You are the apple of my eye. And see, there are people in this place that you are where you're at right now because of the choices and decisions you've made in your life. And some of you are living in a life of guilt right now because of the wrong choices you made in your life. But this is what the Lord says. I hold the reset button in my hands. That the moment you turn it into my hands, reset. Now you walk in a new decision, in a new life. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. What are you going to do from this day forward? What choices will you make? What will you speak into your life? I feel the glory of God. I want everybody, just close your eyes right now. Bow your heads. Father, I feel hope in the place this morning. Lord, I have spoken the word that you have deposited in my heart for this morning. There are some folks in this place that have made the wrong choices, walked the wrong direction in their life, blamed everybody else for the outcome of their life, but today has recognized, wait a minute, I've made some choices. And I pray right now, God, by the power of your Spirit, that you will stretch forth your hand, that you will touch, that you will change, oh God, change lives, change perspectives, change, oh God, even vision in this place right now, God. To those that came with no hope in their life, that right now you will surround them with hope. Let them know that today is a new day. That even though they woke up in the same situation, they can allow for that situation to dictate their life or stand strong and say, from this day forward, I change my destiny in the name of Jesus. Will you lift your hands right now? I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. Lift your hands all over this place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe this is your first time in church right now. The Lord is tugging at your heart, saying it's time to change your destiny. It's time to change your destiny. It's time to change your destiny. Maybe you've been in church for a while and the Lord's saying it's time to change. Quit having a pity party for yourself. It's time to change your destiny. Hallelujah. If you want the Lord to put a new course in your life, I want you to right now step out of your pew and come to this altar right now in the name of Jesus. Come on up here. Come on up here. Don't stay in your pew. Come on up here. We want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is shifting in the atmosphere right now. There is shifting in the atmosphere. There's change in the atmosphere. I want you to come and just be transparent before the presence of God. There you go. Step out. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus. Don't stay in the aisle. Come into the altar right now in Jesus' name. I know that you've been handed probably a bill of pain in your life, but the healer is in this place. The way maker is in this place. The one that brings change into your life is in this place right now.
Your loving kindness
in the name of Jesus.
Your tender mercies I see.
Yes, yes, yes,
day
yes.
Day after day, forever faithful.
Rabakataya Rabashaya. Right now, I want you to begin to lift up your voice in this place. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice right now. There you go. Lift up your voice. That's it, all over this place. Lift up your voice. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Change is in the atmosphere. I said change is in the atmosphere right now. You don't have to live in the condition that you came to church. Right now there is change by the power of the name of Jesus. God will touch your mouth to change your future. Right now the Lord is about to touch your life in the name of Jesus. Everybody lift up your hands right now. The glory of the Lord is in this place. I want you to lift up your face. Lift up your face. Because the presence of God is about to come right now and saturate you. If you've never spoken in tongues, right now your tongue will begin to dance. Lift up your face. You're about to see a new horizon. You're about to see change. Right now, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will change the atmosphere in people's lives now, in Jesus' name. Somebody lift up their voice. Somebody lift up their voice right now. Yes, yes. I don't know who you are, but you got that scream all bottled up inside of you. You need to open up your mouth and let it go. There is a breakthrough in that scream. Somebody's about to break chains right now. Somebody's about to break through right now. Somebody's about to have a turnaround in their life right now in the name of Jesus. Open up your mouth and shout in the presence of God. Chains are being broken right now. Chains are being broken right now. In the name of Jesus. I feel deliverance in this place. There are some folks that the devil had a hold of you. But God is bringing a loosening in your life right now. In the name of Jesus.
If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, baptism is for the washing of the sins. That means every sin you've ever committed, when the blood of Jesus is applied to your life through the name of Jesus and water baptism, every single sin is washed from your life. Everything you committed in the past is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, you have that option to be able to go down in the waters in the name of Jesus. The Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. You have the ability to become a new creature today in the name of Jesus. If you want to be baptized, I want you to tell one of the people next to you, say, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Talk to one of the leaders. They'll take you to be baptized in Jesus' name. Today, God wants to bring salvation into your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God praise in the house.